Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The esteemed and lovely and talented Hub Arkish.
Hello.
Hub Arkish.
An experienced NFL reporter with decades of experience.
670 The Score's NFL insider.
Hub is excellent at his job and should be on TV somewhere because he doesn't have a face for radio, but that's for another time.
Shaw Media and Pro Football Weekly.
I don't think that there can be any disputing that Aaron Rodgers is a complete tool.
Hub Arkish, not getting better than this.
Hub Arkish with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. It's a two-day Spiegel and Parkins reunion with Mac at Cottage. We talk to Hub Arkish every Tuesday on this show during football season. So Hub joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Hey, Hub.
How you doing, guys?
We're doing very well. I hear we finally had a training camp fight.
Yeah, this one was legit. What happened Sunday as the team was breaking camp in Bourbonnais, Kyle Long and Akeem Hicks exchanged glances, looks, reached out and held each other off. It wasn't a fight. This was a legitimate, only went about three rounds, but it was Prince Amukamara and Javon Wims. And as Matt Nagy said after practice, the irony of it is they're probably the two nicest, friendliest guys on the team. But it was legit. There were some roundhouses being thrown. And then after Wims and Amukamara got separated, for some reason, Eddie Jackson appeared to go after Wims. These things, it sounds like a lot. The whole thing probably lasted, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. Once order was restored, Nagy called both Amukamara and Wims out on the field, and the three of them talked while practice continued. They shook hands and walked away, and then afterwards, of course, everybody tried to sell it as much ado about nothing.
You know, these fights, it's nice to talk with you, Hub, by the way. These fights, when they happen, obviously we have the conversation, that edge could be good, those kind of things, and like, does the coach really dislike that? I'm most interested, I guess, in the Javon Wims part of it because he's had such a good camp. I was impressed with him last year. There's kind of a legitimacy to him in terms of a roster piece that demands that Prince Amukamara and Eddie Jackson or whatever take him seriously in a way. It's kind of like he belongs on this team at this point, doesn't he?
It certainly looks that way. And, Matt, I have kind of my own little theory here based on nothing but conjecture. I want to be clear on that. But we were all really caught off guard, I guess, only because I was the first guy in the room. I got it first, but everybody had it within a couple minutes. The announcement that Emmanuel Hall had been waived this morning. Mm-hmm. And this is a young man who was one of the top priority undrafted free agents out there, was called by many the best wide receiver in the SEC last year. He's had injury issues. He had sports hernia surgery immediately following the rookie minicamp. But what was interesting about it is that because of that surgery, they could have easily stashed him on IR for the year. According to the release, it wasn't waived injured, and so they just, and Matt Nagy said after practice, it was a numbers game. Well, here's a guy who, we really thought had a chance to be a significant factor in the league. He may still be. He's going to get in with somebody else somewhere. But my theory is that Wims and some of these other young receivers show up and they get this news and are all a little shocked by it, and maybe even subconsciously, suddenly, they're on edge a little bit because it did appear, and it's hard with these things, but it did appear like it was Wims who got upset first. But that could very well have something to do with it. The incredible competition at that position, Wims trying to establish himself. Certainly Amukamara doesn't have anything to prove, but I think you may be onto something there.
I asked Mark Grody this yesterday when he was in for Mac. If I trust and believe in Allen Robinson's role and Tariq Cohen's role and David Montgomery's role, they need another weapon in the passing game from a skill position perspective to take this offense to the level that it should be. who's most likely to be next man up there?
Well, I mean, you can absolutely count on Allen Robinson and Tariq Cohen. Not only have we seen it on the field, but they're having excellent camps. And, you know, these guys are legitimate. Robinson is a number one receiver, and Tariq Cohen is that special hybrid weapon, game breaker, you know, big play guy. Next up after that, the hope is that it's Anthony Miller, and there's no reason to believe that it can't be. He was having a good camp early. You do worry, though. This guy's now got that injury, you know, bug that follows him around. But he would probably be next man up for what you're asking, along with Trey Burton. And I'm not worried about Trey Burton. I know people want to create a lot of mystery around him and, you know, want to go to the whole anxiety thing and the fact that the injury occurred the day before the playoff game, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, it was a real injury. You don't have surgery just to prove that you had a real injury. And he was looking fine in camp and just overdid it a little bit. He's working his way back in. He is one of the better move tight ends in the league. So, Danny, I think the answer to your question is that they think that both Burton and Anthony Miller in their roles as the move tight end and as the number two receiver can be that guy. And then the other thing that's been intriguing to me in camp is he's not a number two receiver. We saw that last year when, you know, Taylor Gabriel's average yards per catch were 3.5 yards below his career average. But as a legit number three, if you've got Miller going at number two, he is a real potential game breaker as well. So I think the answer to your question in order is probably Anthony Miller, Trey Burton, and then Taylor Gabriel.
Boy, it's interesting because Matt Nagy tells us so little and shows us so little of what the offense is actually going to be. And we saw that last year. We didn't necessarily realize what it was going to be. And I find myself wondering about the usage of the running backs and especially Cordarrelle Patterson. I don't know what he is in Matt Nagy's mind. Is he this? I assume he's, you know, a multi-tool like Bill Belichick had him, but that could be, he could be targeted specifically as a wide out in ways that we're not imagining in this camp. Is it plausible?
Yeah, it is, Matt. And by the way, real quick, because I forgot part of the answer to Danny's question is, you know, you mentioned Robinson and Cohn, and I think you can count on that. I'm not counting on David Montgomery yet. There's nothing negative there. There's nothing I've seen that worries me. It's just that, you know, he's not in the same category. He's just a third-round draft choice at this point who has shown some interesting traits. And so you have to hope that happens, or else now you're back to square one with the running game. But then you move on to CP. I think he is just a second version of you know, Tariq Cohn. And Matt Nagy came right out and said it a week or 10 days ago. We were talking in camp, and he said, you know, I love my toys, you know, and he's just kind of drooling over all the different things that you can do with Cordarrelle Patterson. He has never become a NFL receiver. He was drafted at the end of the first round 6 years ago to be a receiver. His hands, he drops too many footballs. I mean, he'll make some big plays for you, but you just can't really trust him. But I think the main reason, Matt, that they went and got him is because they were dead last in the NFL last year in kickoff return. And you know, we saw in the wild card game when they needed a return, they gave Tariq Cohn a chance for the first time all year, and he gave him the big return, you know, to set up that last drive, the ill-fated double doink. But they don't want to overload Cohn. He is a little guy. And so primarily Patterson comes in as a special teams guy, the best kickoff returner in the league over the last 6 years. And now, having seen what Belichick did with him, where he actually started 4 or 5 games at running back and was very effective, you know, the way to use him there with the jet sweeps and some of the RPOs, he will line up as a running back probably, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a game. And then you get to, he does have elite speed, and he can take the top off of defense. So he'll be targeted as a receiver every once in a while, but I think that's probably priority 3 with him right now, beyond what he gives him in special teams and gimmick plays.
We're talking to Hub Arkish, McNeil and Parkins with Spiegs in on the score. What did you make of the report that the Bears got outbid trying to trade for the kicker from the Ravens?
You know, I don't know that they got outbid. I know that they inquired. I don't know that they actually made a bid, to be honest with you, and probably did, because this kid is good and a lot of teams were interested in him. But I haven't been able to confirm anything other than that they did inquire. And I actually have a pretty good source with the Ravens. You know, the Bears aren't going to tell us exactly what's going on. So I will know more on that for you guys in the next day or two, and we'll let you know. But other than the fact that they were interested, interested because they have to be interested. I was talking with some of the guys in the media and actually a couple of Bears people on the sidelines this morning about this. The irony of this whole kicker thing, and I get it. You know, I mean, you're never going to erase the double doink. Who knows what happens if the kick goes through? But the fact is, both Fry and Pinheiro have had pretty good off seasons. They've had pretty good training camps. Today, unfortunately, was one of their weaker day kickings as they both hit an upright once. But for the most part, they have been hitting over 90% of their kicks, and that would make them the best ever. You don't hit over 90% of your kicks. Now, I know they're easier to hit in practice than they are in games, but it's not like either one of these guys has disappointed. It's not like we're watching them and saying, oh, they can't kick in the NFL. I think it's just that everybody, including some Bears people, they want a sure thing. There is no such thing in the NFL, but you know, everybody would love to have it if they could find it.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about the kicker situation in recent days, Hub, and I know that a lot of people are saying that the Bears kicker exists right now. He's on another roster because they'll take a cut and bring him in. And I know that you don't necessarily buy that these two guys they're getting to know might make more sense than some dude they pick up and they have in camp for a week. And then all of a sudden you're entrusting him. That doesn't keep me from scanning depth charts around the league, though, I must say. And nor does it keep some others. I saw the name Cole Hedlund thrown around, this kid who's backing up Adam Vinatieri in Indianapolis right now. And he made 3 field goals in the Colts opener. Bears might get to see him August 24th, 3rd preseason game, Bears-Colts. So you got to get a look at him. So who knows? Some of these guys on depth charts. But I believe you still think there's a pretty good chance it's either Pinheiro or Fry for this job.
Well, I don't know, you know, as far as predicting who gets it, that I'm necessarily right. I just feel like like they'd be as good an option as anybody else you're going to bring in from what I've seen. You are correct. I am in a small minority of the guys on the beat. You know, we've talked about this a lot, being holed up in Bourbonnais and now back at Hallis Hall. And most of the guys on the beat agree with what you're, I don't know if you're taking a stand, but they tend to agree that the kicker's not on the roster right now, that it's going to be somebody after that final cut. You've got Austin Siebert in a battle in Cleveland. You've got, there's a couple other guys that I know the Bears have allegedly shown interest in. The part that I don't understand about that is you're going to go through a whole off season and then a training camp competition, and one of these guys is going to win. When you go to the final cut, you're going to keep one just because you have to. And then what you're saying is you see everybody else's cuts, you're going to go grab one of those guys. Why? Because they've kicked in the NFL before? Well, Cody Parkey kicked in the NFL before. I don't understand why somebody who just got cut by another team is a better option than the guy who won your competition. And that's why I'm not convinced that it isn't one of these guys. And what I've seen of these two is I think there's a good chance that they both will end up kicking in the league somewhere.
Joey Sly of Carolina, is that the other dude?
He's going to hit the waiver wire because he's not going to get the job over Graham Gano. But, you know, he hit the 55-yarder against the Bears. One of the ironies of this competition, I was mentioned to one of the guys this morning, is that Eddie Pinheiro has not missed from outside of 55 yet. Unfortunately, he's missed inside a few times. But so it's all in the eye of the beholder. And I'd love to get to talk to this new kicking consultant, Jamie Cole. We haven't had the opportunity to talk to him yet. And Chris Tabor, the special teams coach, is you know, understandably reluctant to say much about one guy or the other. But if you're out there every day watching these guys, it's not like they're missing kicks left and right and they've been awful. They haven't been that bad.
Hub, what do you make of the Antonio Brown fiasco?
That it's a fiasco. I mean, the guy, he's got a screw loose at this point. And you know, actually, I need to be careful because when we say that these days about NFL guys, people immediately wonder, is there legitimately a screw loose? I mean, could this be the beginning of some kind of, you know, CTE dementia type thing? There's no reason to suggest that.
Other than he plays football.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the reason you can't ignore the possibility. It's not like he's been full-bore crazy, but he's been very different from the guy that we got to know the first 7 years in the league. You know, it all started about a year and a half ago. It was all consistent with what was going on with Le'Veon Bell, and it's gotten crazier and crazier. And so You know, the cryogenics thing, again, if you're not looking for a conspiracy theory, it could just be stupidity. He just didn't do his homework. He didn't know how important it was to have his feet protected, because I've talked to some people and it is very important, and that will heal. I mean, you know, those blisters will be gone. He'll be fine by opening day. But now you get to this helmet thing, and this is just controversy for controversy's sake, and I don't understand why a veteran, potential Hall of Fame type player is going there right now. He's won. He's gotten everything he wanted. He got out of Pittsburgh. The Raiders gave him the new contract, which I have no idea why they did that. They had him under control for two more years anyway. There's nothing left for this guy to win, so why is he still doing this? And that's where you stop and scratch your head and say, you know, maybe he's just a little off his rocker right now.
Well, that look at me instinct seldom gets satisfied, Hub, you know? You want, and those wide receivers, remember Michael Irvin saying it's the most independent spot on the field, but you are the most dependent in terms of needing teammates to help you out and get you the ball. So there is this inherent, look at me, I'm open, check me out thing that a lot of them, as in terms of personality, gravitate to. So it's Antonio is that guy. Have you been watching Hard Knocks? I feel like John Gruden is playing the role of football coach better than ever before, but it is a role he's playing.
Matt, I answer your second part first. I haven't watched it, but that's just me. I'm not saying people shouldn't enjoy it if you do. I have some fundamental issues with the show, so I just don't watch it. But getting back to Brown just for a second is, I mean, you look at the great divas of the position, the Terrell Owens, the Chad Ochocinco, uh-huh. Michael Irvin, you know, guys that we just named. They were that way their entire careers. Brown was not like this. I mean, he was a really solid veteran leader, great guy in the locker room, not, you know, seeming to have any ego issues until about a year and a half ago. So that's kind of what's so curious about this. I don't. What have they had? Just the first episode of Hard Knocks so far?
Yeah, just episode one.
Okay, so I get why people enjoy it. I just, to me, I find it very invasive and unfair to these players and coaches, and I don't understand why the NFL goes along. Well, I know why they go along with it. They're marketing their product, but it kind of makes me uncomfortable. It's interesting. Everybody has things that they get creepy about. Unfortunately, my things are a little different than most people, but it feels kind of creepy to me.
What do you think Dak Prescott eventually signs for?
Not the $40 million he's asking for. I mean, I don't know where that number came from. I know what, you know, why the agent would throw that out there. But it's a really interesting one, Danny, because this guy is not in the league of the other guys who've gotten paid. I mean, you know, he's been a real revelation as a fourth-round pick, and he's done a nice job for the Cowboys. But if you're setting out to get a franchise quarterback and you make your list of your top five or seven, is Dak Prescott one of them?
No.
You know, and he's clearly not. And so just the fact that his contract is coming up now and that these guys do, you know, timing is everything. And being the next guy after Russell Wilson is a good thing, you know, because theoretically you keep getting more. But Dak Prescott's not worth what Russell Wilson is, and they're asking for more. And so I don't know if that's just a negotiating ploy or where they're at. I almost feel sorry for Jerry Jones because they've got a mess on their hands right now. They do have to re-sign Prescott. They got to do something with Zeke Elliott. They're very soon going to have to do something with Byron Jones. They've got Jalen Smith coming. And at least with Smith and Jones, they can argue they're amongst the best at their positions. But Prescott just wants it because, you know, he fell into this fortunate timing. And I don't know what you do, but you can't give him that kind of money. That's just not, you know, good personnel management.
That sympathetic figure, Jerry Jones. Come on, Hub. You don't feel sorry for Jerry.
No, I don't, because I really can't stand the guy. But if I ever was going to, I would right now, you know.
We appreciate the time, Hub. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, take care, guys.
Thanks, Hub.
That's Hub Arkish with us, McNeil and Parkins.
The corollary between Dak Prescott and Antonio Brown, while the personalities are obviously different, is the one is a fourth-round pick, one is a fifth-round pick, and it took them a few years into the league to realize that they potentially could be made guys and talk about themselves and their place among their peers. And as they try to match themselves and measure themselves, Brown needs the attention as well as the money and the targets. And Prescott apparently needs the money for legitimacy. But it's been an arc for both those guys.
Yeah, I mean, the personalities could not be more different. And frankly, the talent level could not be more different. Antonio Brown, over a seven-year stretch, the only guy who's ever had a better one is Jerry Rice. So, I mean, he is absolutely on a Hall of Fame track. Dak Prescott is average. Like that, to me, Dak Prescott is Alex Smith. He's good. He's steady. He would be an upgrade for 10 teams in the NFL, so that guy gets paid. But you don't win because of him. If you look at his numbers, they are remarkably consistent for his first 3 years in the NFL. He's never missed a game. He's never had more than 23 touchdowns, but he's never had fewer than 20. He's had six rushing touchdowns all three seasons. Like, he is he's 3,400 yards, 23 touchdowns, single-digit picks, and six rushing touchdowns.
Super solid and super useful, especially on the cheap contract that a man of his draft position gets.
Right, he's getting a huge raise in the fourth year of a rookie contract to $2 million this year. The salary cap is $188 million. So Dak Prescott is about 1.5% of the Cowboys' salary cap. If, like, say he gets Carson Wentz's deal,
yeah,
and he gets $30 million, $32 million. Like, say he beats Carson Wentz's deal by $1 million and he makes $32 million against the cap next year, he'll be more than 15% of your salary cap. And so he's a bargain with what he is now, and he'd be way overpaid on what he's going to get. But Dallas's situation, as I see it, is they've got to pay him because they've got so many guys coming up. You don't want to franchise tag him like what happened with Kirk Cousins. And hopefully, for Dallas's sake, you pay him where you can get out of it in 2 or 3 years as opposed to really committing to him for 5 or 6 years.
I like when they're in turmoil because I have no sympathy for Jerry Jones.
Me neither.
And the entire cult of personality that is Cowboys Nation. Zeke Elliott as a top five pick in a league where the running backs don't really get valued as such.
He's awesome,
then,
though.
Yeah, but then also being a problem legally and logistically for them for several years, and now holding out. Good, enjoy that fiasco. And now Dak asking for all this money. Enjoy that fiasco. Like, screw him.
Yeah, but if I was Dak Prescott's agent, I would ask for it too. The cap keeps going up 10% every year, 9% every year, and quarterbacks keep getting paid more and more money. Why wouldn't he say, hey, Alex Smith got $75 million guaranteed, Kirk Cousins got $84 million guaranteed, why wouldn't Dak Prescott get 90?
You know what happens when you say that Dak Prescott, or really any quarterback, would be an upgrade for blank number of teams. The texters start coming in, he'd be an upgrade over Mitch.
No, he wouldn't. You
maybe, you're saying that the known entity, that you know what Dak Prescott is.
Correct.
If you knew exactly what he was with this defense and in this division, would you take the known of Dak Prescott over still the possibilities of Mitch Trubisky?
No, because...
You think Mitch could reach the Dak Prescott level?
Yeah, I will be floored if he doesn't. So what is it? 23 passing touchdowns, 6 rushing touchdowns, about 300-something rushing yards, 3,500... Yeah, Mitch Trubisky will have more than 4,000 yards from scrimmage and more than 29 touchdowns this year.
He'll account for more than that.
I am very confident that he will surpass both of those numbers.
In a better, more wide-open system here than what Dallas runs.
Right, and hopefully he minimizes the turnovers because that's absolutely part of Dak's value, and part of Dak's value is availability. He's never been hurt. He's very good at protecting himself when he's moving around like Russell Wilson. So, yeah, Dallas is in the awkward position of we gotta pay this guy because we can't roll the dice in the draft, but we know that we'll be overpaying him as soon as we do.
I think it's pretty clear that paying Russell Wilson led in part to the destruction of the Legion of Boom.
Yeah, but Russell Wilson, there's probably not five better quarterbacks in the NFL. You know, he blew up and he earned it.
You take Mitch over Russell Wilson?
No, not even close.
Okay, just checking. Just trying to check your pulse there.
Remember that day you looked like an all-pro, Shep? I'm sure you did.
I do, yeah. Brian Urlacher, he never looked so damn slow. I do remember that day, Speak.
It was a
December afternoon on the lakefront at Soldier Field.
Shep, are you taking Dak over Mitch?
Russell Wilson looked like an all-pro.
I knew you remembered.
I think that's a lot closer than the way you kind of just downplayed it. I think that's a lot more of a conversation than just, meh, he's going to put up, Mitchell put up more numbers passing-wise because he'll be asked to put up more passing numbers probably in this offense, you would think.
This text, hopefully from Danny's wife, I'll kiss you on the mouth if Mitch has better stats than Dak this next year.
I mean, I will take that bet.
Oh!
What are you paying?
Let me text the Shep. I'm going to text this guy back. Let's keep his number.
Yeah, exactly. We'll do it on Michigan Avenue on the damn bridge in the middle of winter too.
In a with a sandwich board, just for just.
I was
going to
say
value.
A Superman outfit, but fair enough.
I actually have an idea along those lines. Now that you're here, it's Mac and Parkins on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald and the 25th ranked Northwestern Wildcats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Season and single game tickets are on sale at nusports.com. It's also brought to you by Lakeside Bank. Mortgage rates are amazing now, but trusting your money to an online firm, really? Call Lakeside Bank. Your own personal Lakeside mortgage banker will be with you all the way. For a mortgage, personal is best. Lakeside Bank, it's about time. Matt Spiegel in for Dan McNeil. Nice catching up with you these last couple of hours, my friend.
It's true. And we got a few more hours of Rock'em Sock'em Radio on the air today. And
that's
then
true.
Tomorrow as well, as I hastily arrange childcare to cover my Ruben hours so I can hang out with you instead.
Sorry, Ruben.
I think he's fine.
That's good. I hope so.
Fine. Yeah, no, he's definitely fine.
Know what happens when the Astros are in town, though, Speaks traditionally with Rubster.
When the Astros are in town, I usually take him to the game in scout seats and he spits in the face of Rick Hahn.
There you go. So if you don't watch closely, little Roopster, I know he's not that far from the ballpark in the South Loop there.
Yeah.
Astros are in town. He might be looking for Mr. Hahn behind home plate today.
It was an unintentional spit at the time. At this point, it would have to be an intentional. He is now a sentient being in terms of, as a 7-year-old.
He can control himself.
Yeah, he's got thoughts and control. And he has thoughts. We've now reached the stage in parenting where he will bring up random scientific facts to me.
Oh, yeah?
And I have to genuinely question whether he's right or not. And he's usually right because it's something that he learned somewhere, and it's something I've never known or thought of in my life.
Or certainly forgotten. Because it's been a long time since you were in biology or chemistry.
Right. But, at 7, I don't know how he knows these things. We have a lizard now. We have a leopard gecko that he is the...
Didn't get into the AC ducts like the last one, right? No. The vents,
It is amazing that I'm trusted with a reptile again.
Yeah, I can't
really
believe
is.
The reptile community has embraced you in this way.
I didn't ask them. I did not allow the reptile community to vote. But anyway, we're talking about him, and then we're talking about animals, and he's like, Daddy, did you know that a chicken's heart beats 4 times faster than a human? I didn't. I don't. Really? I is that true? I don't know. Yes. Yes, Daddy. And I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. And I look it up. He's right. He's right.
Right. Okay,
yeah.
Score one for Ruben.
You're right.
A chicken's heart rate can reach 400 beats per minute. No wonder they walk around like that, looking so completely freaked out all the time.
Looks like they're on coke all the time.
Right?
That's why it was hard for Rocky to catch one.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Or John Randall in the commercial. They're having constant panic attacks. Those poor yard birds with their hearts beating like crazy.
So we need chicken Xanax.
Yes.
Right, to slow it down. Xanax slows your heart down?
Sometimes.
I don't know anything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it does for the panic attacks. That would be
good. Okay, right. That's what I thought.
All right, so he's right about that one.
All right, so he's 1-for-1 on his scientific facts. Yeah. That's good.
And immediately I start thinking about Jerry Maguire and the kid Ray.
Yeah.
Hi, Ray. What,
A human head weighs 8 pounds.
And I think the human head does weigh 8 pounds.
That checks out.
Yeah, you had to.
Ray was smart.
Sometimes these things check out if your kid is not a liar.
Yeah.
You know? So he brings me another one last night. We're eating corn on the cob, right? And it's a success now. It's a triumph that the kid eats corn on the cob. And he says, Daddy, did you know that corn is actually a fruit because it has seeds?
No.
I'm like, nah, it's BS. It's either a vegetable or a starch, right?
Well, what about a grain? Doesn't it grow from the ground?
Well, this is what I look up and I find out. Yes, it's a vegetable. The kernels themselves are indeed considered seeds, so it qualifies under the fruit heading as well.
What?
And then it's also, when they grind it, ends up being used as a grain. So corn is a vegetable, a fruit, and a grain. What the?
No.
Come on, science. That's garbage.
So do you ask Ruben for his source on these things? Like, is it like Wikipedia? Does he have to LexisNexis?
I do.
It's Wani. Wani actually is Ruben's source.
It's a grain.
Corn's a fruit and a vegetable. It is.
It's versatile.
It's like Chucky Pagano.
It's a two-way player.
Uh-huh. It's everything. It's like a three-way.
I know. Coached Zach Thomas. He could have gone both ways. He's the corn of linebackers. Okay, so
corn
what?
Is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Zach Thomas.
He does these impersonations. I swear, you would think it was the real people.
Just let Parkins
corn
go,
on
man.
A cob, it reminds me of Jason Taylor.
Guys, I'm just trying to fit in with the Wani impressions, okay? Let me live.
Remember, the impressions, it's like rushing attempts. It's right. More important than you actually try.
We spun the wheel of Danny Parkins impersonations yesterday, boy. Oh, boy. We had Ozzy in there.
Oh,
it's great stuff.
Yeah.
It's tough to do Ozzy and come off politically correct in these times.
Well, I knew that I was safe because Grody was so much worse than I was that I just felt, I felt comfortable in a mob situation. Mob. But have you heard the latest commercials with me and Ozzy?
Mob.
No. You and Ozzy Guillen?
Yeah. Yes. The other Ozzy.
Osbourne.
Or Smith. Ozzy Smith, perhaps.
Yeah. No. You should just keep your headphones on. At some point, me and Ozzy Guillen talking Blue Chew will grace your Sonys.
Oh, my God.
In the big leagues, I was a Punch and Judy hitter, but in the bedroom, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Wow, that sounds unfortunate for all.
I was listening in that day when you guys were recording it, and Ozzy, in one man's opinion, Ozzy improv the best line of the entire 60-second spot, and they ultimately ended up not using it. When he's talked about, when I was in the big leagues, I went to my closer. And then now Blue Chew's is closer. And then they didn't use it.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Right? That's a good line. Yeah.
That is a good line.
Tanny, there's four versions of
that. Oh, sorry. Spoiler alert for
this. Yeah. Please don't step on the ad campaign.
The sexual closer. The idea of a sexual closer.
And it's still Bobby Jenks.
Somebody to come in and finish the job. You ever see Kentucky Fried Movie, Tanny? Which is oh my God. And there's a thing with like a fake sex album, like how to make love to your wife. And the whole bit goes on and the guy's trying to do it and he fails. He doesn't rise to the challenge, to the occasion. So, and that's why the record comes equipped with Big Jim Slade. And it's a giant guy who breaks through the wall and comes in and takes care of your partner just in case you can't.
That's
so
okay.
It's brilliant.
The more you know.
Yes.
So do we need to fact check Ruben in any way on the starch, corn, veggie, fruit variety?
Well, that one, I don't know. I don't know if that can possibly be true, that corn is everything. But I know that this show in the past has had a vegetable / fruit correspondent who's been useful.
Yeah, it feels all right. Well, longtime Spiegel and Parkins fans know what's coming next. Shep, get Dawn the produce lady on the phone.
That's awesome.
It's Mac and Parkins.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's on the Score.
Welcome back in. Mack and Parkins on the Score. Speaks in for the At Cottage, Danny Mack. You can check out Mack's Twitter account, by the way. 46-inch muskie that he boated yesterday. So he got one. Muskie fishing is his happy place. And I asked him before he went, I said, so if you catch no fish for a 10-day vacation, will it still be a success? He said yes, but I didn't really believe him. So I'm glad that he boated one.
I think that I think he has the ability to find himself unhappy at the end of any vacation. It's a skill.
It's funny because it's true.
It's a skill.
We stumbled upon a conversation that allows us to call an old friend who we were going to probably call anyway.
I miss her.
I do too. It's Dawn, the produce lady from Whole Foods, on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Hey, Dawn.
You guys, I miss you guys so much. I'm so happy to hear you guys together.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dawn. I've heard that that you've been listening to other radio shows and sending care packages to other radio shows.
Okay. Well, yeah. Hold on. That was Jay Zawalski. Yeah. They were talking about guacamole, and so who had the best guacamole. And literally, I'm not like making a pitch. We literally have the best guacamole on the planet. And I don't know if they, like, really knew about that, so I just sent a bunch over.
Uh-huh.
But if you guys were together, I would have sent it to you.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Guacamole, Dawn. Come on.
I know.
I'll send you guys guac, okay?
I know I don't have, quote, a regular time slot, unquote, all right? I still can get mail here, Dawn.
But I got to say, I was listening, I think it was last weekend, I forget what day, and you were on, and I was telling my husband, because we were driving downtown, how just nice it was to hear you on the radio and hear you. I just miss hearing you guys together. So it was a nice surprise to hear you that day.
Well, here we are together, and we thought of you.
I know. Yeah, I'm so honored.
And part of why we thought of you is because my 7-year-old told me last night that corn is a fruit. And I'm like, shut up, kid.
Yeah.
You listen to me. No, but then I look it up, and I find out that corn is a vegetable, a fruit, and sometimes a grain. And I don't understand how you classify that. And what have you learned in your produce travels, Dawn, about the status of corn?
Of corn specifically? Yeah. I mean, he's right. No, he's totally right. It just depends with corn specifically how you use it and how you utilize it. But technically, anything that grows, like, off of a plant is considered a fruit. And so it's kind of, you know, like other things, well, tomatoes, that's like the obvious thing. It carries a seed and grows off of a plant. A lot of people think it's a vegetable, but it's a fruit.
Cucumbers?
Or like cucumbers, bell peppers, that's another confusing one.
But so what are other examples of things that are both fruit and vegetables?
Oh, God.
Because I always were told those were opposites. It was like the Capulets and the Montagues. Like they fight against each other.
Cub sucks.
You know, I would have to look that up, but corn could potentially be one of the only examples of that. But don't quote me on it. I would have to Google it and then come back to you guys.
No, that's Googling. Good. Danny can take care of the Googling. He's great at that. Let me segue to this. How do I pick a good ear of corn without ripping it open and looking? Is it possible?
No, you really do have to kind of crack it open, which it does drive grocery stores nuts when you do that, because if you find a bad one, people just leave it.
Uh-huh.
Or they're leaving, like, the husk everywhere, so it's just, like, totally messy. But and it also dries out the corn, so once you crack it open to check, you're starting the process of just drying it out. So there's really not a good way to pick it outside of, you know, if it feels mushy, you know, and you're hitting a mold spot. But it's like a watermelon. It's just a crapshoot. You just have to pick it up and go home and see if it worked out for you, you know?
Wow, that's tough.
This is the scam of produce.
It's a total scam of produce. That's how I stay employed.
Thank you for admitting it. I've always thought that big produce, it's like big pharma. Big produce is out to get the man.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
It is. We are. Don McLaughlin is out to get the man, for sure.
Wow, you're putting your name on it. That's very brave.
Oh, wow.
See, I'm seeing a lot of conflicting reports. Like, I got a lot of fruits often mistaken for vegetables, like the pepper, the eggplant, the olive, the pumpkin, the pea pod.
Yeah.
But I'm struggling to find examples of things that are both fruits and vegetables.
Mm. Yeah, I know. I'm telling you, corn could be one of the few. But I will hook up with some of my farmers, and I will see if I can get you a good answer on that.
You know, I think the first question I ever asked you, Dawn, I'm going to ask again because I continue to struggle with the best way to keep my strawberries fresh for the longest amount of time. I find myself, if I put the entire container of strawberries in the fridge, I inevitably go back a day or two later and I find mold developing at the bottom. So what I find myself doing is cutting them and keeping them inside Tupperware once they're cut. And I feel like at least that way they don't mold. Am I insane?
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
Damn it.
You're supposed to just, I know.
Ruben would have told you that.
I know. You just got to leave it in the fridge as you see it and just wash and cut as you're about to eat them.
Mm.
But if this was something recently, you know, weather plays a big factor in just the quality of produce, obviously. But it's been just a crazy weather season for our farmers. And so it's been a little up and down, you know, with what we've been seeing coming in from our farm. So it could be they're just a little too wet in the field and it's just causing some extra moisture in the container.
Ah,
but
so there you go.
Just keep it. Yeah, you got to be sensitive with these farmers. I've talked to you about this before.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on,
they're
Speaks.
Working hard for you. Come on.
Pay attention in class.
Yeah,
I deserve that.
So,
yeah,
so
it just depends on the part of the season, you know, but it's been a rough go for our farmers this year.
And I still am a believer in my conspiracy theory that big produce is, when they put something on sale, it's closer to being spoiled, and that's likely to rot. So when I see a great deal on raspberries that I like to put in my ice cream, I got to eat them that night or else they're going to spoil if I got them on sale.
Well, you're not shopping at Whole Foods, probably. That's not something that we do. Potentially other grocers might do that.
Mm.
But, like, we have to plan ads maybe 4 to 5 weeks in advance. So this is new fresh product coming in that is on promo because you're getting it at the heart of the flush of the crop, you know. So the farmers are calling saying, we're about to flush, meaning all this product is coming up and ready to go. Because if they have a good warm day, it's like popcorn out in the fields, you know, that the strawberries, raspberries, et cetera, they just blow open and they're ready to get, packaged and sent to us. So oftentimes when you see a good promo, that's usually what happens, is that a farmer had a nice flush because of a good weather forecast and then just had excess or surplus of that product.
Got you. Dawn, I'm a noted lover of the tomato. I think most listeners know that me and tomatoes.
Music, tomatoes.
Yeah, we have a relationship. I don't know which tomatoes to get for which kind of things. Like, Romas are easy to slice, and then I can leave them around and put them on my sandwiches. The tomatoes on the vine look better and rounder, and they feel good. But then, like, the beefsteak ones seem fine, and then there's the heirloom tomatoes. I mean, what am I best off getting here? I don't know what to do.
Well, yeah, if you're going to slice it for a sandwich, beefsteak is fine. But so there's this tomato out of Sunset. Sunset is a grower with a subname of Machinardi out in Michigan, so it's local to us. But I'm telling you, it's the most unbelievable package of tomatoes. It's it comes in a pack with like a seal on top of it, and they're little. They're kind of like a cherry size, and they're called Wild Wonders. It says it right on the label. And you can actually find those not only at Whole Foods, like I've seen them at Costco and other places too. But what's cool about these is that they're heirloom tomatoes from around the world, seeds from around the world that they have, you know, compiled into this Wild Wonder pack. But nowhere on the package does it really advertise that. I think it says like the world's best flavor or something like that on the package. But I've talked to Sunset and told them they need to advertise that better on the pack, because when you're eating out of this particular pack, you're getting tomatoes you will never taste anywhere else except for in that pack, because they have access to those seeds from around the world where, you know, normally we wouldn't have access to that kind of heirloom tomato.
Uh-huh.
So my go-to, you should write it down, is the Wild Wonder tomatoes in that pack. But I slice them up for nearly everything. I mean, they're small, but to stuff in a sandwich or on a salad or just by themselves,
excellent.
You can't beat that tomato. Yeah.
Dawn, last thing quickly. Is Mitch Trubisky good?
Okay, I was really worried about that decision last year. I got to be honest. Me and my husband had a lot of arguments about that. Because I thought the Bears were halfway out of their mind, you know. What did he play? He played like six games in his career, in his professional career, before the Bears signed him. Isn't that right? Something along those lines?
In his amateur career,
I was nervous. Yeah, I was nervous about that. And I think he did have a stellar year last year. I mean, I think all of us were floored by that. But being able to repeat that is always tricky. So I'm still a little skeptical about this year. But I do think we're in a decent place. You know, I'm comfortable with him. Just I'm not 100% confident.
That's an entirely reasonable answer from Dawn. I don't like it.
I think I need year three to answer that question confidently. You know what I mean?
That's the right answer.
That's totally reasonable. Yeah. That's totally reasonable. See? Dawn McLaughlin, yeah. Whole Foods Produce, please send us some guacamole. We got jealous.
Oh, my gosh. Guac, I'm going to send you – let me try to send you guys Wild Wonder tomatoes, okay?
Oh!
Not as a pitch, I'm telling you. Just because I'm so confident with this tomato, I love it.
All right, we got to go, Dawn. Thank you.
You're the best, Dawn. Thank you.
Lovely to catch up.
You too. Bye.
Texter says, nice to hear Danny, Matt, and Dawn back together.
It's Mack and Parkins on the score.
I can see why this is so popular.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.